Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to our callers in just a moment. I want to make a comment about a future temple. On a previous broadcast, a lady, in a bit of an uncharitable way, was saying that I believe in pie in the sky because I don't believe that there will be a future temple, a future beast, and a future abomination of desolation, although I do believe that evil will continue in the world. As Jesus said, in this world you'll have trial and tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. But let me be clear, and I've laid this out in my book, Has God Spoken? The age of the temple came to an end with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And therefore, there is no warrant whatsoever to suggest that there will be a tribulation temple or a millennial temple. Hebrews makes clear that the temple was but a type, and that the priest offers sacrifices at a sanctuary that is a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one and is founded on better promises. Hebrews declares the utter futility of the sacrificial system in light of the Savior's sacrifice. Despite the fact that Jesus forever dispensed with the need for temple, priest, and sacrifice 2,000 years ago, there are, unfortunately, Zionists who call in the broadcast who are bent on stoking the embers of Armageddon by scheming the construction of yet another temple. And as their story goes, a third temple will be built where the Dome of the Rock now stands, and Antichrist will desecrate the temple by standing in the Holy of Holies and declaring himself God, thus becoming the abomination that causes desolation. And resistance, they say, will lead to the greatest Holocaust in Jewish history. But their entire scheme, like a house of cards, rests on little more than inference. Such inference arises from the faulty assumption that Jesus, in the space of several sentences within the Olivet Discourse, predicts not simply the destruction of the second temple, but the desecration of a third temple as well. And not only is the notion of a third temple an inference, but the New Testament warns that to revert back to types and shadows is sheer apostasy. In place of sacrificing holy cows, we're called to celebrate Holy Communion. Scripture forbids Christians to partake in the encouragement of building another temple. That would occasion the trampling of the Holy Son of God underfoot by counting the blood of the covenant a common thing through the offering of unholy animal sacrifices. Jesus never uttered a single word regarding a third temple. So if there's any pie in the sky, I would say the annunciation that there's a third temple or a fourth temple is pie in the sky. But Jesus emphatically pronounced the ruin of the second temple. And we should recognize that the Shekinah glory of God, which departed the second temple, forever dwells within the spiritual temple. The Shekinah glory of God will never again descend upon a temple constructed of lifeless stones. It forever dwells within the living stone. And this is biblical. You also, like living stones, says Peter, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter uses the very language once reserved for national Israel, and he applies it to spiritual Israel. He says, you're a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. So the type and shadow of the first and second century temples find their substance not in a tribulation temple followed by a millennial temple, but in a church built of living stones comprised of Jew and Gentile, with Jesus Christ himself the capstone. Nowhere is that typological fulfillment more directly, more dramatically underscored than in Hebrews. When Christ came as high priest, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his blood, having obtained eternal redemption. So Hebrews highlights not only Jesus, the antitype of the temple, but Jesus as the antitypical sacrifice as well. Even the ashes of the red heifer, like the blood of bulls and goats, find their ultimate antitypical fulfillment in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's for that reason that the writer of Hebrews explains in no uncertain terms that to revert back to a sacrificial system is to trample the Son of God underfoot, to take that holy blood and make it unholy, to insult the Spirit of grace. So will there be a third temple in the 21st century abomination of desolation? Well, while the Zionists in their zeal threatened to light the fuse of Armageddon, we can be absolutely certain that the prophecies of Daniel and the prophecies of Jesus already blaze as stars in the constellation of fulfilled prophecy, demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. No, this is not pie in the sky on my part. This is reading the Bible for all it's worth. And again, I've written about this in a lot of detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. It is available. You can order online at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, talk to our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, David in Smyrna, Tennessee. Hi, David.
How you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a question for you. I grew up Seventh-day Adventist, and they were really big on the Sabbath and the seventh day, and which, I mean, I think our culture has gotten away from taking a day of rest. And well, when the Old Covenant and the Ten Commandments talked about having the seventh day, what are your biblical views on, does it have to be the seventh day, or is it just more of God taking, as an example, take a day and rest and focus?
Well, no, I think there's more going on there. What you have is the fact that in Jesus Christ we have our Sabbath rest, and the reason that we worship on the first day as opposed to the last day of the week is that very reason. We want to remember that Jesus is the substance that fulfills all the types and shadows that have gone before, and therefore he is the ultimate sacrificial lamb who was not only slain for the redemption of the world, but rose again so that we know we too will rise. So in honor of resurrection, the emphasis is worship on the first day of the week as opposed to the last day of the week. And again, that is informed for the emerging Christian church as something that is a fulfillment of a symbol. And the most dangerous snare is a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. So it's not as though the Sabbath is abrogated. The emphasis shifts to the rest we have in Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much for your time, Hank. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And of course, the emphasis for the symbol of the Sabbath is continually shifting throughout the Bible. In Genesis, a celebration of God's work in creation. After the Exodus, a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression. And then as a result of resurrection, the rest we have in Jesus Christ. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Welcome back to the phone lines. Talk to David in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I have a question about Revelation chapter 7. And right after they mention the 144,000 who are sealed in this vision, and then they delineate each tribe of Israel, and they mention Joseph, and they mention Manasseh, but for some reason they leave out the tribe of Dan in the next several verses. And this is the only time I can read in the Bible where Dan is kind of left out when they mention all 12 tribes. Is there any light you can shed on this?
Well, Ephraim is also omitted there. And the reason is both tribes were associated with idolatry. And not only that, but Dan was largely obliterated. But overall, you have to recognize that there are no fewer than 20 variant lists of tribes. And these lists include anywhere from 10 to 13 tribes. So no list needs to be identical. The context determines the list that is used at any given time in the Bible. And you have to recognize, too, and you mentioned the 144,000. The 144,000 ultimately point to the full complement of God's people. So they are the great crowd, which on the one hand is numbered, and on the other hand is numberless. And again, they point to the full complement of God's people.
So that 144,000 is not what you call an exact number. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, likely 144,000 is a number that represents the 12 apostles of the Lamb multiplied by the 12 tribes of Israel times 1,000. And the figurative use of the number 12 and its multiples is well established in biblical history. So this isn't reading something into the biblical text. The tree of life in paradise restored, for example, is said to bear 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the great presbytery in heaven is surrounded by 24 elders, 2 times 12. And the figurative use of the whole number 1,000, of course, is very common in Old Testament usage. God increased the number of the Israelites 1,000 times. God keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the like. So the 144,000 represent true Israel as it's intended to be, true Israel in perfect symmetry, providentially sealed. And unfortunately, there are people like the Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth who want this to be exactly 12 times 12,000. It can't be 11,999 or 12,001, but this is implying a literalistic paradigm on apocalyptic literature, which is intended to communicate something that is very precious. It's very much, maybe literarily, like the lamb and the lion. So literarily, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. John is told about a lion. He turns to see a lamb. He's told about the 144,000, and he turns to see a great multitude. So the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb, the same entity viewed from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered, as I said before, and from the other, she's innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. Again, from every tongue and language and tribe and people and nation throughout the earth.
Wow, that certainly does shed light. I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Eric in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, sir. Hey, first off, I just want to say thanks, Hank, for your ministry. I listen to you as much as I can. I hear you pretty much every day, brother, and I want to thank you for your ministry.
Well, bless you. Thank you for the encouragement.
I had a question. Something came up recently. I was talking to another family member. I can't even remember how we got on the subject on possession. I said, well, I don't really think Christians can be possessed. I don't think that. And then we got on, looking some stuff up and doing some homework on that. And I was just kind of baffled at the fact that I didn't find any black and white scripture to support that. I mean, I know the fight Jesus came here to do was a spiritual fight. He didn't fight for our bodies necessarily. I think he fought for our spirit. You know, when we die and leave this earth, he fought for where we go. You know, we still get sick and die here, and we're still plagued by the devil, hence the term a backslidden Christian. So I still think, you know, at least to an extent, we're still plagued by the devil, Christian or not. And I'm just kind of curious, like, where's some, like, solid something that's black and white that kind of leads to that, you know? Because I know there's some stuff where Peter was saying, be vigilant and sober because your adversary is the devil. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But it doesn't say unless you're a Christian. I mean, basically, he's saying be on guard at all times, no matter what, because the devil will get you. And I'm just kind of curious as to where we get these ideas from. Now, I'm not going against you, Hank. Again, I'm with you. I just want to know where we find them.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad that you're thinking about these things because, yes, the devil is a potent force. He is a foe of the believer, and therefore we are told to resist the devil. We are told to put on the full armor of God. And I've said many times on this broadcast, if we do not, we are guaranteed casualties. So yes, while we should not overestimate the power of Satan by suggesting that he can possess a believer, we likewise should not underestimate the power of the evil one. And if we do so, we do it to our own harm. We do so by failing to heed the warning that is clearly given to us in Scripture. I wrote a whole book about this, pointing out how important it is to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. But I think what's important here is to recognize that when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we recognize that Christ has already won the war. And yet the reality of his reign is not fully realized. So at present, we're sandwiched between the triumph of the cross and the termination of time, between, as it were, D-Day and V-Day. D-Day, you might say, was the first coming of Jesus Christ when the enemy was decisively defeated. V-Day is the second coming of Christ when the enemy shall totally and finally surrender. So history is hurtling towards a glorious, a climactic end when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. But in the meantime, we better put on the full armor of God. If we do not, we are guaranteed casualties.
Okay, and I understand that. Like I said, I'm with you. But like another thing that threw me off was like when Paul was talking to the church of Corinth, he said, "But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." It kind of makes me think Paul saying, well, if you're going to allow to be misled by these entities, scripture, the false prophet, spirits, whatever, you might as well bear with them, because if you're going to continue to believe that, you're not going to be won over by the simplicity of the preachings of Jesus Christ. So it just kind of baffles me, because it doesn't, again, it doesn't say unless you're a Christian, and then you don't have to worry about any of this.
Well, again, though, I'm not suggesting that you don't have to worry about Satan or fallen angels. I'm saying you should. That's why Paul is telling you to put on the full armor of God. All I'm suggesting is that Satan cannot possess the believer, and the reason I say that is on the basis of an argument that Jesus Christ himself has made. How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? A demon-possessed person, obviously, is one possessed by the demon or the devil. But a spirit-indwelt believer is someone who is possessed by the Spirit. And therefore, the force of the argument leads to the conclusion that in order for a demon to possess you, they would first have to bind the one who occupies you. In other words, they'd have to bind God. Perish the thought. So Jesus makes very clear, consistent, and concise arguments that while we have an adversary, in fact, the adversary is not only the devil, but it's the world and the flesh as well, that we ultimately can have victory over that adversary, and that adversary cannot possess us because we are possessed of God. There are only two kinds of people in the world. At the end of the day, those whose temple, as it were, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and those who may be possessed by a demon because they have not given themselves over to possession by God. Again, I've cashed all of this out sequentially, biblically, in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. We'll be right back next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.